All right, we're back live. This is CISCON Radio at Java 1. I'm Sean Rohde, the editor of Web Services Journal, and I have with me Steve Benfield, who's the Chief Technology Officer for Silverstream Corporation. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing really well, Sean.
How's the show going?
It's going really well. Good number of attendees and really good quality people. A lot of interest in our booth and the things we have to offer. So always a good show at Java 1.
Well, I wanted to dive right in. There's a lot to discuss, and we've only got a couple of minutes really to do that. I wanted to talk first about what's Silverstream doing, what products are you showing at the show, and then there's some announcements that you just made. We'll get to those.
Yeah. Well, our product is Silverstream Extend, and Silverstream Extend is a set of tools and application frameworks for building real-world business apps on top of J2EE. We really target the business developer, and our goal in the end is to help business developers build real-world applications quickly, but do it on top of a standard space. What we're showing here is Silverstream Extend Composer, which is a very easy to use and very intuitive environment for building legacy integrations, and then exposing those as web services, as EJBs or JMSQs. And one thing that we've announced here is Silverstream Extend Composer Business Process Modeler, which is actually the first business process modeling engine built on top of WSFL, Web Services Flow Language.
Well, we were going to get to that announcement, so why don't we just do that? The question that I have for you is, you know, there's a host of choices right now. What led you to pick WSFL as a business process language to implement?
Well, you know, one of the good things about standards is that there's so many of them to choose from. And in the business process modeling arena, there are a couple that we could pick. One of the things that led us to WSFL was it's built from the ground up to work with web services. So WSFL works intimately with WSDL, can introspect WSDL and get a lot of information on how it needs to make calls. In addition, one of the things we liked about WSFL was how it led to a simplified way of doing modeling. If you see in our business process manager designer, coming out of any action can be any number of links, and each link can have its own expression that can be evaluated during runtime. And these expressions work on the XML that's going through the business process flow. And so what it leads to is a simplicity in design and diagramming, which then in turn should lead to better business processes. So those are a couple of the very high-level things that we liked about WSFL. We also think it has a really good chance of becoming one of the final standards that really gets cemented on.
Well, one of the questions I guess a lot of people would have early on about web services is, why do we really need a business process management or a workflow type of setting? I mean, most people would think that SOAP is enough. What's the reasoning behind adding this technology?
Well, you know, one of the reasons is the way we look at web services is it brings together something called massive integration, which means in the past, what we did is we only integrated some of the highest-end systems in our organization. We spent millions of dollars to do that. And with web services, we can now build web services layers to everything in our organization, meaning we have to integrate a lot more things than we had in the past. So if we're going to start doing that, and we then need to simplify and accelerate the task of actually piecing all these things together. So instead of doing it through hard-coded, let's say Java or whatever language you want to use, we can now use a business processing tool to piece these together. Since it's just XML in and out of every service, it really starts lending itself to the advantages that business process modeling has promised over the past, you know, I don't know, decade or so. And so web services now gives us the foundation where instead of doing all this hard-coded stuff, we can make flexible business processes that hardcore developers don't have to put together, that business analysts can put together in conjunction with people actually writing the services themselves. So it lets IT lower the cost of putting systems together, accelerate the development time, and really decrease the maintenance time of these things.
And Silverstream has always been famous, if you will, for a very intuitive, easy-to-use interface and putting a wrapper around that, especially for the business folks. So I guess one of the questions I would have is, you know, you have the J2EE app server and whichever server you want to use, but you've got that tool around that to make that simple. What are the other, the Composer Studio, I guess, will help work with WSDL and XML and SOAP. or what are the technologies that are involved?
Yeah, with Composer, I can visually go to some legacy system, let's say a 3270 screen. I can do drag and drop between my XML document and the screen. And what results is something we call an action model, which gets deployed to a JTEE server. And so a non-hardcore developer can actually build these integrations really quickly. And the tool is geared toward the people that understand the back-end system. So if you're using Composer to go to EDI, the development environment for the EDI connector is very easy for somebody that understands EDI to work with. And so when we talk about bringing productivity and ease of development to this environment, it's not just at a low-level code, code point of view. It's very much geared toward the greater IT development community who want to take advantage of JTEE, but don't necessarily want to write all the infrastructure plumbing. So we abstract all that so the developer doesn't have to worry about JMS. They don't have to worry about underlying deployment pieces. They hit a button and it deploys to either Silverstream or to BEA or to IBM's application server as well. So another piece of our story is cross-platform compatibility.
Right, and guys, every time I've come down and looked at the software, it's always been very slick, very easy to use, so I got to give you a lot of credit for that. One of the questions I wanted to ask, though, is in general, where do you see web services going in the future? I mean, you kind of turned our magazine on it early on. What do you see as the key things in the future that are going to happen or need to happen?
Right now, when you look at web services, I think you see a lot of tooling that's kind of at the low level. I want to take this Java component, turn it into a web service. I want to take this Corba piece and turn it into a web service. And people have toolkits for that. And that's kind of the first step that's needed. What I see coming over the next year or so are higher level tools, which allow a non-technical developer to really start piecing these things together and building real applications. Another area is the whole area of presentation. So the other half of our Extend product line is Extend Director, which is a framework and set of tools for building front-end applications for delivery to wireless devices or to browsers or to what have you. And so it includes things like personalization, content management, human interaction workflow, business rules. And so what you get with Director is you get an environment where I can now consume these web services and turn them into end-usable applications with relevance and personalization. But if you look across the entire industry, one area that really hasn't been standardized on is interface. So I have to develop one way to build a Java server page. I have to build another way to build a portlet for some portal vendor. I have to build another way for a wireless device. And so you see things like the SUI, Web Services User Interface. There's like a couple other of those in the web services space. Kind of late. I can't remember all the acronyms right now. And another area is XForms as well, which seems to be making a lot of noise. And so we're focusing a lot of R&D in those areas to be able to automatically take a web services definition and easily build a portable interface from that. So I think over time we're going to see web services transcend from back-end integration where it is now to front-end development as well.
And I think there's a lot of people looking for that as this next holy grail for us. I mean, web services, a lot of people think of it as a holy grail, but a lot of people are actually doing portions of it already, so it's not really as far out as it seems, but that definitely is in the future.
I saw an interesting statistic this morning at a conference given by an analyst firm, and they did a survey. They said, how many of you are actually doing web services? And the number was actually right around 60%, which I thought was a bit high, and maybe kind of depends on what your definition of web services is. And then the follow-up question was, which technology are you actually going to implement your web services in? And this is where the number was pretty encouraging for us as a Java vendor. And about 40% of the respondents said they're going to use Microsoft technology, and 80% said they're going to use Java. Now, those don't add to 100 because obviously you can use both.
Well, I'm sure.
With the advent of JTEE 1.4 and the standardized way of doing web services in Java, I think that'll further the acceptance of it and real-world usage of it.
Yeah. All right, great. Well, we're just about out of time, so I want to say thanks. This is SysCon Radio. I'm Sean Rohde, and we've been talking with Steve Benfield, CTO of Silverstream. Thanks, Steve.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.